Hello there, and welcome back to the Natalie
and Dennis
Show
podcast.
Happy Friday, you guys. Today we are riding solo. It's just Dennis and I.
Solo again.
Solo again, but not for long.
Not for long.
I mean, maybe for a bit, but to them, maybe not for so long.
So, just to change things up and make things interesting, we're going to Japan this week. And we're actually going to be filming the next two podcasts in Japan. So, if you want to catch the visuals next week and see what our hotel room looks like.
I'm excited.
And maybe even a nice view from the windows so that you guys can actually see Japan. And we can discuss what we've actually done in this following week. Tune into the next podcast.
Oh my God. I just got like a big, like, what the heck? We're going.
Yes, we're going to Japan.
I just got like a realization. Like, it hit me now.
Why did it take so long for you to just realize?
I don't know. But you know what has me freaked out?
What?
I haven't packed.
That's not that bad because we're not going to take anything.
I don't know about that little theory of yours.
We're going to be shopping like crazy.
So Dennis is telling me, he's like, don't worry. Just pack this.
Pack very light.
Pack three outfits. Pack a bunch of underwear.
And some workout gear because we're going to work out at the hotel gym.
Pack two pairs of shoes and we're good.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see, people. We'll see. Ah! Wait, what the heck? I'm going to Japan.
You know what this just reminded me of?
What?
So yesterday I showed Natalie a TikTok of someone who was in the shower and they were like eating tacos and all sorts of stuff. And it was kind of like gross-ish, but at the same time I was like, damn, that's so liberating. And the comments were like, sometimes you just kind of realize that you have free will and you can do anything.
I know. That's how
we can go anywhere in the world at any time and continue to work. We're actually very lucky for that.
I don't know, though. Like, yes, you can. But also, I feel like to me, it's not really. I don't know. I don't believe in that, to be honest, that I have that free
will. Tell me about that. Explain.
Well, I feel that I'm somebody that really thrives off routine. And Dennis has kind of had to keep me calm because tell me how. I left everything for the last day, you guys. I have product notes to give back. I have a YouTube video to film. I have a YouTube video to edit. I have TikToks to film, TikToks to edit. I have brand notes to give back. I have to pack.
The problem is that Natalie wants to leave everything completed for when we go, which in my perspective is unrealistic. And the thing is, we're going, but we're not going to stop working. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that you think that we're going to go and like film new content. But I still have to answer emails and syndicate and you have to post. So what I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with doing that stuff there, but you kind of want to get everything done.
I think that for me, I'm not an easy, what's the word? Like multitasker, right?
Yeah.
And I really enjoy routine. So my fear, because when I went to Bali, the time difference was so much handsome. Like you don't understand. I don't think you've ever had a time difference that big. You've done Hawaii.
And I've done Spain.
Yeah, but this is going to be much
13 hours.
Bigger and you're going to feel it. And so I just know for the first 2 days, we're going to need to reset and recharge.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of like be like, okay, what's the time we could do this and do this and do that, right? So I wanted to give us that time frame. And also, I want to enjoy the flight. I want to, like, flying on a plane for me is so relaxing in the sense that nobody can bother me during that time. You know, nobody can reach me. No emails to respond. Like literally I'm up and above the clouds.
The world.
And I want to like just have a marathon movie time, you know?
I was on the plane with you last time. I think we were coming back from Hawaii and I sat on my headphones and I broke them. And so I had to sit the rest of the flight with no headphones. And I'm really, really about noise canceling. And I the engine of the plane, all of it, I just want to block it all out. And it was just so bad. I couldn't use it. And so it really like took me out of the experience. Travel in general for a lot of people is very anxiety inducing. And a lot of people some over prepare, under prepare. I would say I'm over prepare for flights, especially seeing as we have to carry so much equipment around. I have to prepare for podcasts over there. So I have to take two microphones. I also have to take the set, not this or the other one, but like the transportable one. And then cameras for any type of filming.
So wait, why are you not that stressed? Or are you stressed internally?
I am not stressed at all.
You're not stressed?
No. Because we're going to have way more than enough space for everything because we're taking more luggage.
I'm going to write that down because I would totally forget my headphones.
No way.
I need to pack like right after this, I swear, just to kind of like pinpoint different sections of things. But oh my God, can you believe it, honey?
So all week I've been actually thinking about what our first meal in Japan is going to be like. We're going to be arriving there pretty early. So our first meal is going to be breakfast. Which is very funny because tomorrow is Wednesday and it would be our breakfast date night. Date night breakfast night. So we're doing our breakfast date in Japan.
What the heck? Wait, that is cool.
So I did some research about breakfast around the world. And so we're going to play a little game. Ooh. I'm going to tell you what a breakfast consists of without telling you the country. And then you're going to rate what the breakfast is. But I will be starting by telling you what the breakfast in Japan is and what to expect our breakfast to be.
Oh my God. Okay, wait, I'm so excited.
All right.
Can I tell you what I had in mind?
Go ahead.
I already pictured, for some reason, I imagined us arriving late at night. Do we or do we not? We arrive in the morning, you just said, right?
Pretty sure it's in the morning.
Anyways, I don't know why I imagined like us on the top of wherever it is that we're going to be, that apartment with a bunch of lights outside, right? And then I just imagined room service. I imagined miso soup, some nice hot tea, and like a sushi platter. But since we're arriving in the morning, tell me what we're eating.
All right. So a Japanese breakfast actually includes rice.
Okay.
Miso soup.
Yes.
Boiled eggs.
Yes.
And like little bits and pieces of things. So it's like some kimchi or maybe, I know kimchi's Korean, but they also have like that kind of
nori.
Yes. All of that, like crunchy greens, oniony stuff, it's all included. So yeah, just very light breakfast, and that the traditional Japanese breakfast comes out to about 400 calories or less.
That's great.
Yeah, it's actually very healthy.
So we did book at a place that has an all-inclusive breakfast as well, right? So it's going to be like a buffet style?
Yeah, it was actually breakfast every day for only $3. That's how much it costs for all-inclusive breakfast.
How crazy is that? Oh my goodness. I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm going to post on stories and everything so you guys can see.
So I'm going to be reading out breakfast and then you tell me what country you think they're from.
Okay.
Some are going to be really obvious and then you can rate them. So the first one is huevos rancheros with chilaquiles.
Mexico.
Do you know what chilaquiles are?
Chilaquiles are like tortilla, right? They're like wrapped in deep fried.
Yes.
Yeah.
For breakfast. What would you rate something like that?
Oof. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's fire.
One out of five? I'd rate it a five.
From what about one to 10?
A 10.
I would give it a 9, especially since it has eggs and it's like so nutritious.
That sounds good.
All right. The next one is one called shakshuka.
Sounds Turkish.
So shakshuka is Moroccan.
Ah.
And it's actually composed of eggs, sunny side up, peppers, and like a very thick tomato sauce. Shakshuka.
Where is it? Where is it here?
That's the third one on the list. Shakshuka.
Oh, no. I was thinking something else.
Yeah.
Oof, that sounds good too, though.
Yeah.
Damn, peppers are good.
So it's kind of giving Italian a little bit, but for breakfast.
I give it a 10.
And you say you're not a breakfast girl.
No, but that's why. I don't think it's hard to please me for breakfast, you know? But like for dinner, I'm much more critical.
An energy drink and a cigarette.
Hell no. Is that America or Europe?
No, that's Hungarian.
Oh,
the typical Hungarian breakfast.
Not for me, girl.
Hungarian, Russian, all of that like old Soviet country kind of stuff.
Oof, I can just imagine.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Hot milk tea, egg rolls, soybean curds, and everything at an affordable price.
Definitely London or the UK.
Think about it, egg rolls.
Egg rolls? Wait, yeah. I didn't.
Hot milk tea.
Hot milk tea. Okay, I thought
egg
London.
Rolls.
Egg rolls.
Soybean curd.
So China?
Taiwan.
Sorry, guys. I don't know why you make me be this person. I suck at country.
Okay, no, fine. But what about rating it? Milk tea with an egg roll and soybean curd.
I'm not a big fan of that.
4 or 5?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. I think I'd give it half. I don't really like milk teas that much. Maybe I need to learn a little bit more about that.
Got it.
But the curd.
So how about you not guess the country then? I'll just tell you the country and then you can rate it. Mm. All right. So in Italy, they have one called cornetto, which is like a croissant with a cappuccino.
Rico.
And biscuits.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
That's it. Yeah. Nothing but sugary garbage, according to the comment, and zero nutritional value.
That's still really good. You know, you're going to love that.
I'll give that an 8.
Yeah. I don't know why you wouldn't give that a 10. That's your type.
I'll give that an 8 or a 9. Yeah.
Wait, what's a 10 for you?
A 10?
Yeah.
Variety. I like breakfast, yes, with a lot of variety. So like an English breakfast, like sausages and gravy and biscuits and all this stuff, you know. Although we've been having very simple breakfast here.
We have.
And okay, the last one is from Philippines, and that one's garlic fried rice with marinated meat, breakfast sausage, and eggs. That sounds very good to me. I would give that an 8 or a 9.
I still can't believe we're going to Japan.
You're stuck on the Japan.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that then.
I don't know. Let's talk about our breakfast dates that we've been doing recently, because that's been very different.
Yeah.
We used to try to do date nights like once a week, right?
We still do.
And we
sorry, I get so focused on the talking.
It makes sense. That's why whenever Davi's here, he switches.
And then I usually put it to the third camera, but guess what? That's black.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
But what we started realizing with our date nights is we just wouldn't do them because we would, first of all, our date nights used to be on Fridays after work.
Yeah.
Friday after work, let's be for real. How tired are you?
Very tired.
All we wanted to do was just lay in bed like a sack. Like we weren't about it. So one day we just decided, oh, why don't we just go out middle of the week? We'll have a nice little breakfast date and we'll wake up early and we'll go. And that has been the best thing. One, you don't run into anyone else. Like it's very little amount of people at the restaurant. So you're in and you're out.
Yeah.
And two, it just feels like a really calm, nice morning and something to look forward to middle of the week.
What are 5 things that you're looking forward to in Japan? Or what comes to top of mind that you're just excited for?
Number one would be observing people speak Japanese.
Really?
Yeah. I love the way Japanese sounds. And so I'm just going to be so, I feel like it's going to create this motivation inside of me to learn Japanese. Mm-hmm. So that is number one for sure. Number two, I'm really just interested in seeing like what would you call all of the, oh my God, I just thought about something. Hold on.
What?
Do I have to take a outlet?
No,
I checked. Search changer thing?
I checked like a month ago.
Okay.
They use the US plug.
Okay, not that I'm going to be curling my hair. I always take a curling outlet, girl. I don't curl my hair on vacation.
So don't take it.
Yeah, maybe I won't. But kind of like, I'll feel naked.
You're going to take a curling iron to Japan?
Yeah, I take it everywhere and she never gets used.
You should just buy one there. I heard everything over there is amazing.
All right, fine. I'll do it. Yeah. And then just like the way that things look, like how different is everything going to look, you know? Wow. I don't know. I'm just had a moment. I'm sorry. I know I sound so lame, but it's just crazy that we're finally going.
It's like a whole new world. We went to Spain the last time, but we speak that language. And so I don't think that there was like a barrier for entry.
But even then it was pretty shocking.
It was a completely new world though. But this is a whole other planet.
Wow.
Anyways, Japan, we're very excited to see you. Gonna see you soon. But moving on.
You know what would be crazy?
What? Tell me.
If we come across a Japanese Audi. Like, I don't think.
No way. Maybe,
that's what I'm
maybe
saying.
An Audi from America that's traveling
exactly.
in Japan
That'd
at the same time.
That'd be crazy, though. Wouldn't that be insane?
I mean, for sure, if you guys see us there, definitely say hello.
That would be insane. Wow. Okay, I'm sorry.
That would be extremely shocking.
Exactly.
That would shock me to
that
no
end. That
would
shock me too.
Anyways, yeah, breakfast has been a big game changer for us. It's honestly the one pillar of our day that doesn't normally change. Mm-hmm. But we've been lacking coffee for the past 3 days. And I swear to God, Natalie, from the morning till evening is like, wow, I really miss the coffee. I miss it.
Because to me, I've never really liked coffee. I started drinking coffee at the ripe age of 30. Even though I have a Colombian background, I just felt like it was always around me at all times. I just never liked the taste and whatnot. But it became a ritual, honestly. Dennis cooks breakfast every single day. And I noticed his coffee and like the ice machine that we purchased. And it was just such a nice like part of your morning. I feel like you really looked forward to it, as a lot of people do.
Yep.
And I wanted to be a part of that. And slowly but surely, I think I love that. I started to just, I kind of like the taste now. I do.
So the funny thing is that Sabina, when she worked here, she actually really liked coffee too. Mm-hmm. And so I started going through a lot of coffees in the week. I had to start buying a lot of them. And I think sometimes that can actually lead into like problems in the workplace in terms of like things running out or whatever.
That's true.
But one of the topics that I had here is people who have been fired on the first day.
Yikes.
Why were they fired or what was the experience like, right? We've had really amazing employees. We've had such amazing personalities that we've been through, in terms of our own personal team, assistants, editors, or whatever. But occasionally you do find, you know, that one employee that, you know, kind of irks you a little bit anyways. But usually you kind of like, it's not first day fire worthy.
No, you're right. You're right.
Things have to be bad.
But can I tell you something?
Yeah.
The worst employee I ever had. I should have seen it in the
Don't
first
say he
day.
Or she. So they,
oh, whatever.
They,
it's a man. I mean, we've had many great men too. But here's what he told me the first day, okay?
Yeah.
He basically wanted to create like this drama between me and my cousin because he knew my cousin. And he basically said, he made a remark like, I've heard that you can be really tough to work for.
Yeah.
And he just waited for me to like, what am I supposed to say to that? You know what I mean? It kind of leaves you in a position where it's like, maybe don't say that. And another thing he did the first week-ish of work that I should have been more firm on, I would leave early at times because I had to do other stuff. And that's just the way my schedule flowed. Sometimes people don't understand, like, you know, all of the elements of like content creation and whatnot.
Yes, ma'am.
And he would question me leaving early. Like, I felt like I almost had to go through a boss. It was definitely me being so immature in my own leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the big issue was there, a lot of our employees' seats were at the door. Like, they were right at the exit.
That's true.
And so whenever we had to leave, we'd walk through the door, probably say goodbye or whatever, and leave. Mm-hmm. I also believe, like, as employees, like, do you really have to question why someone is like leaving? Right?
No, that's what I'm saying.
No.
In the way that he would do it, it's like he would corner
or,
me.
Or you can be like, hey, oh, you're off? All right, see you later. Bye.
Yeah.
Like, say goodbye.
Nobody else would do that except for him.
Yeah.
He was a big red flag from the beginning.
There's not lack of professionalism all around.
No, all around.
I'm going to call out a couple reasons why other people got fired on the first day, and you tell me if it was fire worthy. And then we'll discuss what makes a good employee versus maybe a bad employee.
Sure.
Because we've had so many at this point. Mm-hmm. All right. So the first example is a nurse who failed a drug test on the first day. He replied, yeah, I might have assumed that that could have happened. And so he just walked out. Luckily, we've never had, I mean, we don't run drug tests. We're not like a big ass company like that. Right. But at the same time, no one showed up drunk or high to work anyways. Yikes. So that we know of.
That must be really rough to deal with. Yeah, that's worthy of getting fired, in my opinion. It's more of the response as well. You know what I mean?
Like, kind of like not caring.
Yeah. Like almost like, well, you would have seen this in a week anyways.
A new substitute teacher was fired on the first day because they wrote "be quiet" in Sharpie on a kid's forehead.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. Right away fired.
Totally crosses the line, huh?
Why are you even touching the kid in that way?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Especially a substitute teacher. I feel like substitute teachers are very disrespected though.
Disrespected. I was going to say that. I don't think it's fair. Immediately kids feel like they have a free pass when there's a substitute teacher.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but the ones that got it the best in terms of the substitute were the ones that kind of didn't care and let the class do whatever.
But those substitutes are usually for like a day or two.
They are.
There are some substitutes that get the really hard task to take over a class after like a teacher pregnancy. So when there's a teacher pregnancy, they're not substitutes at that point. They are the teacher for the remainder of the year.
So that happened to a teacher and I'll never forget it. She was a really small teacher. She almost looked like a student. Mm. And I think she knew that that would get her to be picked on.
Yeah.
But the way she approached the class was very, what's the word? Just not friendly. So here's how she basically went about this transition.
Okay.
She sat down in the middle of the class in a chair.
Okay. This happened to you?
Yeah.
Really? She was your substitute.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember why the other teacher left. And yeah. It wasn't a girl. But anyways. And I remember she sat down and she was like, I'm going to be your new teacher. You're not allowed to ask me any personal questions.
Okay.
This whole year. Other Damn. Than today. So she gave us the floor to ask her anything. First of all, as a student, you look at that and you're like, what the heck am I supposed to ask this woman? Like, what do I care? You know what I mean? I don't know where the way it came across was just like, something bad might happen this year. Just get it over with right away. So it was like not very friendly. Mm-hmm. And the class did not vibe with that. Do you want to know what the next hour of the class was?
What?
Staring at her.
Just silence?
Nobody asked. And it was so uncomfortable. I was like, what is this? And people were kind of like laughing and like discomfort. And like, what does this teacher want from us? Like, I just don't think it was the right approach. And she did eventually warm up. And I think she did realize that was not a good approach after she sat there and, you know.
I think the label of substitute teacher might give off lack of experience. Or lesser than an actual teacher. Right. I once had a substitute that was like that. It was, I think the teacher went through something really bad and he had to leave. Ended up getting a teacher that was left for like the last couple months of class. But he set this, set us straight by saying, hey, guess what? I'm not a sub. I'm an actual teacher. Like, I was called in from another school. Right. So I know how this goes and I understand the curriculum and everything. So it's not like I'm just some random person. Right.
It must be rough. I would never be able to be a substitute teacher. There's always just a level of not warmness that people give them. And I don't think it's right. But
anyways, last example I have here was a person who hired someone. Another employee came up to them and told them that they couldn't hire that person because they actually had a restraining order against someone else in the office.
Oh, my goodness.
What a lot of the comments were saying was that that person probably knew that the person they had a restraining order against worked there and try to get hired at that same place.
That's awful.
Yeah.
So wait, who had the restraining order? The person that was going
The original worker had a restraining order against a woman who joined.
So that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense at all.
She would have just been wasting her time.
What would it be a circumstance as you, as a boss, if there was tension between employees?
That's very hard.
Would it be something where we would have to let an employee go
or
have to like keep them separate from each other?
No, I don't think doing that is the right approach because then you're favoring someone and it's not really based off of like qualifications, but more based off of your relationship with that person. I would definitely set it straight. Tell them both, hey, this is not for the workplace. Like what? Why are you laughing?
I'm just looking at you and I just... I felt the need to laugh.
Because you can't see me as a boss.
No, because you're in your pajamas.
That's because I've had a really long, stressful day and I have to pack. But anyways, no, that's not for the workplace. If you're both professional enough to like be here and settle it, leave it behind.
Got it.
Then that's what we're going to do. If not, then let's discuss it.
Like I said at the beginning of the question, we've had a lot of really wonderful employees. I think the best employees that we've had are the ones that are self-sufficient.
100%.
And basically don't need any handholding. Maybe roughly take about a week to kind of get a grasp at things. And then especially, in my opinion, when they start overachieving and exploring other avenues that they can then learn and bring in and like make us all better.
Yeah.
Right?
I would say if... a question or not a question, but just something that would make me question somebody on the first day is if they're late.
First day of work?
Yeah. Like
that, I wouldn't question first day because it's probably their first time finding the house.
Well, then you know to leave earlier. Like that's part of like
I guess, planning. Yeah,
like, do you have
right.
those skills? You know what I mean? Unless it was an absolute like family emergency and they were like, oh my God, this happened. I'm so sorry. But I would highly question that. Like what?
Yeah, you've brought up in other podcasts that for you, timeliness is very important.
Timeliness is huge.
What's something other than timeliness that's also big for you?
I would say what you said, self-sufficiency. Yeah. And that goes into a lot of different things. So remember when we had the studio and people wouldn't pick up after themselves?
Etiquette. I guess etiquette would be pretty big.
I feel like, no, well, for me, self-sufficiency falls under that as well. It's like, are you able to pick up after yourself? And
bring your own lunch. Do all sorts of stuff.
Duh. But beyond bringing your own lunch, it's just like, don't leave this dirty if you used it. You know what I mean? Like, put it away or... One thing that would get me, do you remember? So, during lunchtime, a lot of the employees would order Uber Eats.
Yeah.
And tell me how... our garbage can was always full with just two big ass Uber Eats. They wouldn't even squish it down. It's like, this is for everybody. Go to the back where we have the trash can and throw out your Uber Eats there. Don't just like fill up this. You know what I mean? So I think we also had to learn to communicate that with others.
I bought a box of Pop-Tarts for like the kitchen for like everyone. And it was gone in like a day. I don't know if someone at work was like really hungry or like if they had not eaten in days, but that Pop-Tarts was gone.
I will say, I think that we now we have the luxury of getting a lot of things sent to us. So like a lot of people that work for us, they are always like they have the newest energy drinks that are out before. They have like the coolest snacks, like I don't know, Alani Prime. Yeah. A lot of these companies always send us stuff. And so that is pretty cool. Or I know
the perks of working for us.
Yeah. Or, yeah. Oh, comment below. I do remember with Saina last time, like I gave her like this whole bunch of makeup as well because it's just so much and overflowing. But yeah, just common courtesy and just cleanliness is such a big thing, you know. Mm. But we had to learn to communicate
for, that. For me, there's like so many important things in an employee. Working as a team is very important. Like me and one of our editors would try to create like a server in our house, in our building. Mm. And we did it together. Like he tried to figure out how to do it and I tried to figure out. It's not like he put it on me or I put it on him.
That's
like,
awesome.
Like we did it together because we knew that at the end of the day, it was going to help with like data and saving stuff. And that way you could get stuff from the second floor, mm-hmm. right? The worst are the ones that don't want to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
Especially in small businesses, like your job more than likely isn't as stable every day. You're going to have to figure out new things.
There's always new problems.
Or learn new abilities, new tasks, new everything, right? And new problems. You have to be a problem solver as well.
Yeah, and you have to be willing to put out fires that are constantly happening at work, in the workplace, with people, relationship-wise.
Yeah.
One thing that really gets me is, you know, we've always worked with people our age, right?
True. Yeah.
Except for one time.
When was that? Recently? Like the most recent have been the youngest.
Okay, I'll mention it. We had an amazing manager who was very involved.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I felt like that really intimidated someone that was working for us to the point that that person left maybe like a month after.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I mention this is because it's a work in process thing that I've thought a lot about. How when you bring on somebody that's either much younger or much older, you get so many new perspectives, right?
Yeah.
I know when Saina was here, like she gave us new young Gen Z perspectives that I almost felt like, oh my gosh, our team maybe is a little old, you know, for what we're doing.
Yeah.
But then our other person would bring us like a lot of like higher level.
Corporate.
Yes. Corporate.
Jargon.
Stuff. Sometimes a little bit of jargon. But I guess it's just an interesting mix. And I think that is something in the workplace I still haven't figured out how to like make everybody feel comfortable in.
Can I just very quickly ask you, who gets more stuff done, the younger generation or the older generation?
I don't know how to really.
I feel like the older generation is constantly planning and being very like tactical about things, but I feel like a lot doesn't get done.
Mm.
It's a lot of like, I'll get back to you. We'll circle around and talk about it later.
Mm-hmm.
Let's like a like consulting, mm-hmm. you know. Whereas the younger ones are like, oh, I'll do that right now. Let me get that done. Let me figure this out.
But I think the reason why we experience that is because the older person that was with us on our team wasn't presential. How do you say that? Presencial. How do you say that? Like present.
Yeah, like just here.
Here with us versus the younger person was. And so that's why I think you see it that way. But yeah, sometimes there is a lot of like corporate chat and it's like, girl, when are we getting things moving? Yeah. You know?
Like we had ideas for like a business and it wasn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. It just kind of got stuck because it was always like, well, we'll push this a little bit. We'll move this around. We'll find the way. But no, I feel like it's slowed things down. Also being too big and extending yourself makes things take longer.
That's the one thing I realized when we had the studio. And this was at a time where we basically had like several assistants, several editors, just several of everything, it felt like. And yeah, I was like, where's the output? I'm not seeing much. I used to upload more by myself, this and that. And yeah. I think it was because we were so busy managing. And that was a mistake on our end where we were teaching the course of things, which I just think as a small business, it could be really taxing on both sides, you know, having to learn the ropes, but also teaching.
If you had to fire someone now, how would you go about it? Or how would we prepare to fire someone?
You know who I'd fire?
Okay.
Myself. Wait. Because I think my job is not to be CEO.
Yeah.
I think I would hire a CEO, but like somebody that knows it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that all of that decision fatigue is not on me and I can be creative, which is what I'm really good at. You know, I could be the visionary. I could lead everybody.
I'm saying, how would you fire someone?
But okay, so how would I fire myself? I'd have to find a replacement who is somebody who's been doing this for as long or longer than myself, but also has that element of working corporate a little bit and understanding that side of what?
No. Well,
who would you fire?
No, I'm not saying who. I'm saying how would you fire someone?
Oh, how would I go about it? I said
how,
it?
Yes. How would you pull them aside? Oh, how yikes. Would you tell them it's time for you to go and move to greener pastures? How would you do it?
Well, I have had to fire a few people and I have learned how to fire properly.
What have you learned from all of that?
Firing is not an easy thing. Seriously, like it feels like your skin's boiling for that person. It really feels really horrible. So one thing that I would do is always start off with all of the positive. But the reason why I don't love that approach is because then you got to stab it eventually. And that's the part that isn't fun, you know, and immediately that person's face goes from to, you know, so I don't like that approach as much. So what would I do differently? I think I would communicate openly from the beginning. The moment I start to see something that's a little off, I would communicate that so that they have it in their head and they're like, oh, maybe I need to work on that, you know?
Yeah.
So that way, when the conversation happens, and I've obviously thought about this for a while, I've weighed all the pros, all the cons, they don't see it as a shock. Because that's what I don't like. And that's the part that I feel it's really sad because I also, not only have I fired, people have left the team. That's even harder, I think, when that happens. Oh my God, that feels like really painful, honestly.
Especially if a lot's going on around that time.
Oh, it feels so painful. I remember the last time that somebody did that, they said, I got to get out of here, like type of thing. I felt so backstabbed because I don't think it was okay to just throw everything at once if you've never heard it. And that's why I also feel that I would slowly start being very open and communicating like, hey, this isn't really working. Can we try and fix that?
I think recently what a lot of people do is start to like reduce hours until the point where basically they don't get a call back.
But I don't think that's right either.
Because sometimes it's not good. And I'm talking from the employer perspective to just simply fire someone because, yeah, they might stick around for those next 2 weeks. But they might not work as hard. They might not train somebody. It gives them too much time. Right. Because they also know.
Is that why they do it?
So I think that, yeah, cutting hours and reducing. And also it allows the company to see what it's like to live without them for as much. Right.
That's true. It
gives a lot of insight.
But I just want to mention, like, I think that's better on the employer side than on the employee side.
Yeah.
Which is why I think it's wrong. However, in my personal experience, those 2 weeks, when somebody's already been like, I'm out, it's true.
They're already gone.
They are gone. And that, mentally, and can I just say something?
Physically.
If you are ever somebody that you put in your 2 weeks notice, end the job on a high note, please, for your own sake, because this person was one of the best employees I've had. But the way she left, oops, I'm sorry. Oh no, the way she left and the way that she ended those 2 weeks were on such a low note. I would never recommend her to anybody ever. And if somebody were to come up to me and be like, hey, truthfully, how was she? I would be honest. I'd say this was how it was in the beginning and this is the end. And that to me shows a lot more about your character. And then I'll always remember this other person, actually this team of two, who we kind of parted ways amicably and they left on such a great note. Like it was so, you know, it's just like, ah, oh, it was so great working with you. Like, oh my God, the best for you, the best for you, you know? And then we started working again together eventually because it was just such a good experience.
Yeah.
So I think that shows a lot. And that's something I would even urge a lot of people to do. Don't just be like, whatever. No, don't do that.
Well, anyways, we touched on the topic of Gen Z and millennials in the workplace, mm-hmm. and how it was so different. And we realized that things were getting a little old here. What's up with the millennial pause? I know that we've talked about it previously, but how can you tell someone's a millennial now? I know the millennial pause is a big giveaway. We've also mentioned the socks at the gym and just the socks in general.
Well, okay. I think we need to backtrack a little bit. What is the millennial pause, right?
Tell them.
So from our understanding, it's basically you hit record on a video.
Yeah.
And you just take a little pause.
Because you want to make sure that like it registered.
Before you speak, right? One of the reasons why I've never done this myself is because I've edited so much. I've always cut out the bluff, even those little moments, you know? Yeah. And I'm very critical about that. I think it's weird to me. And so I would always tell my editors, I'd be like, I don't know how to explain this, but do you see that moment where I just take a deep breath? Cut it out. Like, I don't want people being like just seeing me like float and just like breathing. Like no, cut it out. Right. And sometimes it's hard for people to actually see that. But once you notice it, oh, it is so cringy and it is so like. But I think what's more interesting is the fact that people gave it a name.
Yeah, I'm surprised though that like that Gen Z doesn't pause. Mm-hmm. I do believe they do. The thing about the iPhone is like sometimes the taps don't register. So I would hate to tap it and start talking and then realize, hey, it's not recording. And that's why I give it that moment of pause for my eyes to actually see the red circle get smaller, right? Like, oh, I'm recording. But and then, I get that mental feedback like, okay, it's recording now. I can talk.
But you're mentioning it as if you're not going to edit it, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or should it be like, I'm going to tap this shit and I'm going to start talking. And if it doesn't record for some reason, I'm just going to do it all over again.
I mean, we're pretty advanced now where you see when it's recording. So I would just talk.
Yeah.
Personally, it always kind of gets me because it almost feels like a very intimate moment that you shouldn't be a part of. Yes. Where somebody's like looking down. And
it's like a fourth wall break in the first 2 seconds of a video.
Especially if they're talking about something very serious and like their face is just so blank.
So we recorded a video yesterday of me doing like this whole nail thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've watched it a couple times now and I realized that there is no millennial pause there unless you edited the pause out. Did you edit the pause?
So the reason you don't see the pause is because there is actually a pause. But the reason you don't see it is because you're not really speaking. It's a song. And I think there's more of a, like it's simpler to kind of hide that stuff. You know what I mean?
I also began smiling. Laughing exactly. And already smiling.
And that's the thing. You know what, how you can tell somebody's Gen Z though, in my opinion?
How?
Is they always start by like setting up the phone.
Yeah. Oh, that's another, that actually has a name too. I forgot to write it down.
Yeah.
But it's like that Gen Z shaky setup where they like lean the phone against something.
Yeah. And you know, to me it's kind of funny when you actually realize that. It's almost like when you realize, oh my God, that person had to place the tripod there.
But I've been noticing that millennials are also doing that, but extra exaggerated.
So again, what that kind of gives me is just, you know, when you overanalyze that, it's like, how funny is it that you just like in that moment felt like you were going to record? It's just, it to me, it gives a little bit of fake, you know? But I get it. It's like a hook. It like brings people in. And I do something that is considered also very like fake and cringy, which is you got to set up the tripod and then leave and record yourself. Sometimes I'll leave that in videos just so that people can be like, oh, that's hilarious, because it really is. It's kind of silly. So, yeah.
I look at old vlogs now of other people who are like very successful vloggers. And then I'm always now analyzing and being like, oh, you placed the phone there. Oh, you walked into a room that the phone was already in.
Yeah. But that's the art form.
And it's a lot of like staging. But the staging, if you really think about it, of a AAA movie, high-end movie in the movie theater, they're acting and it's framed and like everything is placed and known, right? So why, when someone at home is staging and preparing their set, right, like their set with their tripod, is it cringy?
Well, I don't necessarily think it is cringy unless you have that director's eye and for a moment you're like, wait a second, how did they get there, you know?
It's like that Target guy. Have you heard of him? Mm-mm. It's like this guy that walks into Target, and so he got really popular. He would shop at Target, but he would take a full ass tripod with himself.
Good for him.
And what happened was people were recording himself, and so he would be like in the chip aisle with a tripod and just like recording himself picking the chips. And it was just funny. It was funny.
But here's what I have to say about that. Creators who I really love and I'm very invested in, I want to see you from all angles. I want to see you from the front, from the side. Like, I want to understand where you are, get a sense of the room. And so to me, it's just enjoyable. But I can, once you get that director's eye and you're like, wait a second, that's when it gets cringy.
There's a couple of people who have walked into this set, like that we're in right now.
Oh, yeah.
And they say that they on camera assume it's larger.
Yeah.
Right. But we're actually in a little hole in our wall talking. I think if you were to go back to one of our oldest podcasts where we had a third shot, it was a wide that was like right here, mm-hmm. You'd get more of an idea, but it's much smaller than even that can actually represent.
I always remember when I did the collaboration with Wenji and she was shocked at my section. She's like, wait, Natalie, this is your set? I was like, yeah, come on over. And she's like squeezing in. She's like, oh my God, I thought this was so much bigger. And I'm like, no girl, it's just this little corner. I mean, that's all you really need.
It's just all perspective of the lens that's and cameras and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to move into this next topic. It's a little bit abrupt. Uh-oh. And a little bit harsh. There's really no segue into it. But I saw this and I was like, I want to talk about it.
Okay.
And you know, we kind of touched on breakfast dates at the beginning of the podcast episode. It wasn't really to like reignite anything. I don't think that there was anything flawed with our relationship. The thing is, we just kind of wanted to do something special for each other that we would do in the week. But some relationships have to go through like a reignition. Maybe something is going wrong. And what do you do with computers? You turn it off and you turn it back on, right? Just to see if it's working better after you turn it on. So the question is, what did you do to reignite your relationship with your partner, but instead ended up ruining it? You made it worse.
Yikes. You know, there's always that saying that says that every 7 years in a relationship, you change as a person, and it's the hardest in the relationships. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. I can't expect that to be the same for everybody. But I do remember, I think when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, yeah, my seventh year with Dennis was a little bit more tricky than the...
I'm trying to think back to the seventh year. I can't even remember what seventh year was. But you know
what I think the seventh year was? I think that was when we first got married. So it was a transition period regardless, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Reigniting.
What does the word reignite mean to you?
To me, it means like finding that spice and love again and just enjoyment for each other. You know, life can get very mundane. And yeah. So it's like, how can we not take each other for granted? Yeah.
Ooh, deep.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. I did read some of the responses and I'm shocked. And what is that? Should I read one?
Sure, go ahead. Pick one.
All right. I'm going to pick one. Ready? So what we did to reignite our relationship was we invited a third into the relationship. And I was quickly forgotten about.
Yep.
Absolutely never. Absolutely never.
The comments right after that were, yikes. I wonder who came up with the idea. And then everyone was saying that it was a third person.
Oh, my God. No, I don't know. I
think it's too dramatic of a change to reignite, especially for reigniting. When I asked you what you thought reignition was.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you?
For me, reignition is think of like a candle that went out. Mm-hmm. Like, can you turn it on again?
Yeah.
Right. Just a basic candle. You're not going to light that fucker on fire with like a with a torch. You're gonna very gently light it, right?
And that's what they did. Look at my nails. That is what that person did. And it burned them.
The thing is, it's a very gentle nudge. Mm-hmm. I think it needs to be. A big extreme change will not reignite. It'll just burn it, right? Like we said. And so
it's a good comparison.
Reignition might be a change of routine.
That's true.
Doing something for the other person every day. Mm-hmm. Maybe like a change of plans or something.
Special little ritual or something.
Yeah, a show of devotion.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so romantic.
Maybe it's a, like, for example, it's a known thing now that I make breakfast. We mentioned it in this podcast.
Yeah.
It's like you doing breakfast for the next year. It's like,
huh?
That you want to reignite things with me, Natalie?
Yikes, that is scary.
but it shows devotion and change, yeah. And everything, right?
Oh my, that is lighting me on the
what
torch.
What would opening up a relationship to a third person or more than just three or more show?
Okay, I think that in general, if you've always been just you and that person, how it's so complicated. You're going to bring in one other person that nothing about that makes sense. If from the beginning you've explored that and you're not completely loyal in that way, I personally will never understand those relationships. But I have seen interviews because I think it's a very interesting, what's the word?
Phenomenon.
I would almost say a dilemma, because there's always one person who in the beginning was very against it. And they love the other person so much that they were like, all right, let's try this out. I remember this specific person I used to watch on YouTube. She opened her relationship up and she was very public about it. And in the videos, her husband from the very beginning, had always said, I'm totally against this. I don't want to do this. And then eventually he was like, yeah, I opened myself to this. It's been great. It's been fun. Then later on, this like, we're kind of having struggles. They were very open about all this. We're kind of having struggles. There's been a little bit of like jealousy on my end, blah, blah, blah. In the end, they got a divorce.
Who do you think caused the problem?
I think the guy in the beginning never wanted to do it.
Yes.
So I think it was wrong of her to have made him feel like, well, you're going to lose me then. If I can only assume that's what happened, right? Because how could somebody that's so against something?
I think at that point, the relationship's just done. Because opening up a relationship means, okay, what is the problem? What is the issue? We have to think about what is the problem.
So usually what they say, and then sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
But just in this perspective, they were very explorative. Because that's what their whole business was. It was about like sex.
That's what I was going to need to.
So she was like, this is great for our relationship. This is great for you.
So are they seeing it more as a business thing?
No. They were seeing it as a personal thing, but just their business. They weren't like stars or anything like that.
Okay.
They were like therapy people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can I just say, so, okay, when you open up a relationship, it's because there's a sexy issue, right? Sexy time issue.
Though?
Because, okay, what other things come in with an open relationship? More companionship, right? There's another person with other ideas.
Yeah.
Could be different ideas from, and then what does opening mean? Does it mean that they are now going to go and like meet other people, but you're like their main person? Or do they now have more boyfriend, girlfriends? Or the definition of open is complex. And where does it begin? Where does it end? Are there rules? What does it mean? And also, what can opening fix?
Yikes.
I don't think there's anything that opening can fix. Like, okay, you know what's even worse? Let's say we were a thruple.
What's that?
We were three people. Thruple. Oh, okay. Three people. Okay.
Is that even a word?
Let's say we had a third person. Yeah, it's a word. Thruple.
No, it's not.
I swear to you, it's a word. Look it up.
Just invented it.
A thruple.
Okay.
Okay. There's a third person. Us three, we're a couple. Thruple. Or in an argument, the worst would be when two are against one.
Exactly.
Because then in that situation, that one person will always feel like they're being ganged up on. And then it also comes down to the genders.
That's what I was about to say. What's the gender of this person?
Yeah. So the biggest issue would be if that person's a girl. Because then it's a girl and a guy, me versus you, a girl. So you would feel isolated.
Honestly, this whole scenario is giving me a headache.
The entire opening is bad. There's no reigniting that shit. That is burning to a crisp. So yeah, I had two examples here that was about opening relationships. That doesn't work. There was another one that's not on here that I want to talk to you about. And it was about, they had like this little internal meeting together. They kind of sat down and wanted to discuss how to fix and reignite. And what better way to do that than to just ask, right? You would ask the other person, hey, what can we do to reignite their relationship? Let's write down three goals each to try to fix things. And so
that's nice.
The girl in this situation was like the difficult one that was having the issues and the guy was trying to be flexible. So the girl wrote out three things that apparently weren't even like
productive.
No, they were issues that had already been resolved. That's even worse because it means she's not being very attentive to the relationship if she keeps thinking that the same issues are happening.
But also we only heard it from his perspective, so we don't really know.
And then apparently when he proposed three things, she was very reluctant to all three. Mm. And one of them was a date night once a week. Aww. And she didn't even want that.
Dang.
So it's also, you know.
So they broke up, I assume.
Yep. All of these end up messing up.
Hmm.
My ex convinced me that moving back to her little hometown would fix everything because it would be cheaper and less stressful and there'd be no temptations. So just moving also won't.
That's a hard one.
Reignite, or even having a child won't reignite. But
that's the one that gets me every time. You can only imagine the complexities of now. That's another person.
Yeah, it's like the throuple. So, but it's a child.
You know, this brought me back to my dating life. And I remember that things got a little stale in that way with this person, in the way that like I just felt like they were off and I was off. There was something off.
Yeah.
And I was going to go to Colombia. And so this person suggested that we take a break.
Awful.
And I didn't understand that. I was so hurt by that. Needless to say, when somebody says that,
it's done.
They're done. They are done because guess what? I'm on vacation and I go on Messenger, you know, Messenger where people used to chat, and his profile picture is on the beach kissing this girl. I was like, wait, what?
So what a bitch ass guy that can't even break up with you. He said to take a break.
Yeah.
Dude's soft.
Oh.
Because, you know, the thing is, like, what is worse? Okay. Cheating behind someone's back when you're with them, or breaking up with someone and then going and getting someone else?
To me, they're both equally as bad.
Okay.
I felt cheated on, to be honest.
Because yeah,
I'm like, why?
But
did you
went
tell
on
me?
A break. What I'm saying is, like, I think it's much better to break up with someone and then go with the other person.
Yeah.
Then to do it, hide it. Then it gets found out. Then you break up with the person. When you get found out, it's like.
Yes. All I remember is I do recall me not being okay with that idea. And I basically was like, yeah, this is over. You know,
he cheated on you. That's just, it's that simple. He did.
Probably. Dang, I've been cheated on.
Yes. Anyways. This was a very interesting one, and it's the last one, but I did find it interesting, and this is when people's ideals don't line up. Mm-hmm. Went on a beach vacation. She just wanted to watch TV and smoke pot, like we always did. So they always do that together. Realized it wasn't going to work without change. I guess he had a moment of realization that wasn't going to suit them anymore. The whole smoke pot, watch movies, and they ended up breaking up. So in that circumstance, somebody has a change of heart and they kind of come to a realization.
I think that's a really hard one because that's almost not, I mean, in my eyes, what he did was better than what she did, right? Because he's trying to create better habits, but maybe not everybody will see it that way. But I do think it's hard when you grow wiser than your spouse.
I wonder if it was that seventh year.
No, but I do think, right? Like being wiser than who you were before can impact because for example, right, when you started calorie counting, going to the gym, and I was still in this funk, it was hard because I was like, are we not going to eat out? Are we not getting Uber Eats? Like, what's happening? So then I had to also adjust. And that transition period is not easy.
It was kind of like a forced adjustment.
But it was kind of like the guy said, right? Because I realized like, oh yeah, that is a better lifestyle, you know, but not everybody's willing to make those changes. So I think that's a hard one because you love that person still, but you're like, what was that? Dang, that was,
what was what?
There's like a big, like, boom.
An intruder.
What's today?
Someone coming in.
Tuesday. No, never mind.
Anyways.
Oh no, it's Friday. Happy Friday.
Yeah. I think, reignitions are hard, and at that point are kind of like on life support. Like it takes very little to end up making it all fall apart, right? Yeah,
that's a rough one.
We've never had to go through a reigniting of our relationship. Mm-hmm. What do you think we've done to keep us away from having to make something extreme, like a big change?
I think that we both, any life change that we go through, we kind of influence the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but like, for example, you know, like I said, you influenced me to eat better. And like recently, I've become more about God.
Yeah.
And I feel like that has also seeped a little bit more into you in the way that we're reading together, and I think the way we're thinking about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good one. I don't know what to answer with that one. What are your thoughts? Why have we not kind of...
I mean, you brought up the fact that I went through this big change and you were willing to make the change with me.
Okay, the first thing that came to my mind is because I'm committed to you.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's nothing that I wouldn't want to do to be with you.
Let's open up this relationship.
Except that. So yeah, I think that's why it's been okay. From the beginning, I think we've kind of had very similar. I don't know though, because we are different. So
I think when there's a change in a relationship, like the eating habits or maybe hobbies that we pick up together, like rock climbing, it has to be like a net positive influence that the other person can be like, I understand why that's going on, right? True. Or it has to be like a mutual thing, like the rock climbing, it was becoming a thing we were doing,
a
running, mm-hmm. right? Okay. And I think the mental flexibility and maturity to understand their changes going on.
Yeah.
Right. And then also like, what benefit is there with doing said activity? Like mm-hmm. what are the pros and cons too? Like opening, we agreed there is no benefit other than like a sexual exploration thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that usually only one person is like about and not the other. Right.
Yeah.
So that in no world does that seem like it even works, but yeah, I think we've been very flexible with each other's wants. Like you wanted to read or whatever the Bible, and I said, yeah, let's do it, mm-hmm. right? You also didn't question why I wanted to do it. Like I wanted to read to better understand it, to have dialogues with people and to talk.
Which you said you experienced this week. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're okay with me just reading it, right? And then also like you're not also being like on my case about you didn't make it difficult.
Hmm.
You also agreed to one or two pages a day. You were very flexible in the way we did it. And I think I was very flexible in the way that I went at it as well with you. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate that a lot. Okay.
Thanks, honey.
Is there anything you wanted to say on the podcast before you got a minute?
Oh, I have a minute.
I actually have another fun fact. You want to go into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
First of all, what is castor oil? Castor oil? I've heard a lot of people use them in their hair.
Yeah, you use it on your eyelashes and eyebrows to have it grow.
Yeah, so castor oil is actually very toxic in its seed form.
Really?
So castor oil comes from seeds. I'm assuming they kind of look like almonds and nuts and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it takes one seed to kill a full grown person.
What?
11 to kill a dog. So dogs are actually less allergic or affected by castor seeds. And it takes 80 to kill a duck.
What the heck do ducks have?
That's what people in the comments are saying. It's the only time a duck is actually stronger than a human.
Wait, where do you find castor
seeds? So castor seeds contain ricin, which is roughly 6,000 times more poisonous than cyanide.
What?
Yeah. So surprisingly, we are the only animal that can eat avocados, chocolate, and a lot of other things. We're very fortunate that a lot of plants have created like defense systems, like spices, like peppers, and we actually enjoy it. But
it does make me think about the beauty product then, castor oil.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's different then, right?
No, I think it's full on castor oil.
But like what? So we're putting it on our eyes.
But you're not ingesting it.
No, but I mean, it's seeping into your skin.
I looked at ingestion of castor oil, and the only instance that I could find it was in laxatives. So it actually causes heavy diarrhea. And so anybody who consumes castor oil seed would, poop a lot. Yeah. And then poop to death, I guess, if they had a full seed.
Is it a big seed?
I don't know. I didn't see an image. It looked like a berry sized.
That's pretty big. So you could see it. It's not like a sesame seed.
No, it's not like a sesame seed.
Oh, wow.
Guys, we're going to Japan. Heading out in a couple months. I mean, hours, I guess. It's like in the middle of the night. We have to head out. It's a mixture of nervousness and excitement.
I just feel tired from the day. I'm like, how much more do I have to do, dude? I'm tired.
Be sure to follow us on our socials. I'm going to attempt to run in Japan, whether that be treadmill or outdoors. I'm taking my running clothes. Be sure to follow me at Dennis Outlet. Wait, it's not Dennis. Hey, _ it's Dennis. The other one's my email. And you're obviously Natalie's outlet. If you want to follow us on Instagram, yeah, email me reason.
That's how much you're on email.
I'm emailing all day, every day. Be sure to rate this podcast if you're on Spotify or Apple Music or Apple Podcasts.
You guys, thanks for being here today. Yeah, it's so cute.
Fucking help us.
Is it this one? Oh, wait.
Wait, no. What are you doing?
Thanks for being here, guys. You're an amazing girl or guy.
Yeah, subscribe.
Nicole, hey, girl. If you made it to the end, let me know.
What up, everyone?
She's number one.
We're going to Nihon. Nihon?
Nihon.
Nihonjin desu ka?
We're Amerikajin desu.
Amerikajin desu.
Hi.
Thanks for tuning in. Goodbye.
Ja, mata.